I remember as a little boy going to Rab Snyder's store. And around Mother's Day, I think it was Stroman, would sell these little white coconut cakes. They were 69 cents. And Rab never just bought them. You had to order them. And, of course, you know, growing up in Freeburg and having Bob Schaefer's store and Rab Snyder's store, and they were both on my paper route, I visited those stores every day and usually visited them Saturdays. And believe it or not, they weren't open on Sundays at that time then. So we had one day of break for that. And I would always sign up and get her one of those. I must have bought over the years probably four or five before they quit making them and things changed. How many of you ever got one of those cakes, ladies? Did you ever do that? Okay, Peg's got her hand up. Well, we got one here. Okay, yeah, Suzanne did. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Now, the other folks don't know anything I'm talking about, but that's okay. So I've connected with four people today already, so that's good. That's good. But I can also remember that my youngest brother, Pink, he would get one, and Marianne would get one. And Rich, did you ever get Mom one of those cakes? He was a slacker. He don't even remember it. Okay. She would get at least three of those cakes on Mother's Day. And so, and I'm sure she was not a big cake fan, but she appreciated it. It was Mother's Day. That's what I remember about Mother's Day. And I have to admit, when it comes to Mother's Day, I probably miss Mom more now than I ever did. But, well, I'm thankful for the mom that God gave me. If we're going to celebrate and honor moms, we're celebrating the family. And so we're going to investigate that a little bit. You see in this passage, in Genesis chapter 3, you have God creating the family. And then, Genesis chapter 2. And then Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. So we're not going to talk about that, but that took place. But now go to Genesis chapter 4, and you have the introduction of children into the family. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you have a family. Husband, wife, kids. Now you have mom and dad. Now we find it's God who gave us marriage, and I don't want to be political today, but we really have to preach God's word. And what we see in our culture today is man redefining marriage, and it's just not right. God has defined for us very simply in Genesis chapter 2 what a family is. It's a husband, it's a wife, and it's the introduction in chapter 4, it's children. That's our family. Man's trying to redefine it. Man has often been wrong, and in this particular case, he couldn't be any further from the truth in what has taken place in our nation in the last couple years. The roles that we find in the marriage are very powerful roles. Once again, man desires to reject God and his word, and we find that we have an attack on the family. And we just want to talk about that for a minute, and then we'll look at the mom and her role. What we have is an attack on the family, on the roles in the family. And to tell you the truth, we hear it called the war on women. Now, I don't want to be political, and I don't mean it the war on women that the politicians talk about. It just so happens that our culture is so misinformed on what the battle is really about. And it's about the feminist movement has taken over and wants to define the role of a woman. But the Bible very clearly defines what a mom is. And I find that just so exciting. Because I'll tell you what, if we follow the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When man departs from truth, it always brings a bondage into our life. And if anything, the roles of wife, the roles of being a mom, R-O-L-E-S, not R-U-L-E-S, okay? And the roles of being a husband and the roles of being a man are all being challenged. And yet when we look to the Word of God, I do not want to bring an encumbrance upon you today. I want to bring freedom to your life. And freedom to be who God wants you to be. Isn't that exciting? Now think about that. That's what it's all about. And I feel so sorry for, well, our world today. But I want to also say this. I wonder, now when we are reading in Genesis and we have the family, in Exodus, God gives us the Ten Commandments, does He not? And the fourth commandment, does anybody know what the fourth commandment is? Huh? Can you say it with me today? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Right? I wonder how many people are going to stand in line in horses today to honor mom and realizing that they're fulfilling the fourth commandment of the Bible. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about people that you have a conversation with about Jesus Christ that said, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. And yet today they will be scriptural. Isn't that interesting? What a point of discussion in a person's life, huh? I wonder how many atheists are out there today, and they'll say, they'll post on Facebook that they love their mom, and they're finding out, uh-oh, that was one of the Ten Commandments. I wonder how many people hate the Ten Commandments today that want to see them taken down in all the public places, and yet they will follow that commandment today. And they will pause, and they will honor mom. Moms, you're great. Amen? Thanks for helping us out. That's what it's all about. Amen? That's what it's all about. Well, so as we look and we see the Bible unfold, you realize this, ladies, in the book of Proverbs, you have an entire chapter devoted to you and the fact that God has given you a wonderful responsibility in this life. A responsibility of being a woman and a responsibility of being a mom. It's absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 31, I didn't have it printed out on your sheet, but I could have. But Proverbs chapter 31, I want you to notice this about Proverbs 31, a passage. You think, surely you think I'm going to read the one where she gets up early in the morning and makes breakfast, right? No. Now, see, Andy got up and asked how many had breakfast in bed, and so he didn't hit a home run this morning by asking that. So, okay? But Proverbs 31, and go to verse 28, because I think this is an incredible passage. And this is the one that as we just lay this out maybe in an introductory sense today as we celebrate family and honor moms. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful passage, ladies? Yeah. And I hope that your day today is everything that you expected it to be. I really do. And I want to be a part of that. Remember that it was God who gave us the Ten Commandments. He instructs each and every one of us to honor our parents. Now, I know the family on this side of eternity certainly is not perfect, but you have to admit that we're a work in progress. Amen? Moms, we're not celebrating you today because you're perfect. We're celebrating you today because you are honored by God. Amen? And you are lifted up by our Heavenly Father and His Word. And I trust that you have a desire. So now here's what we got into the outline. I might be done really early today. I only got, how many points do I have? Karen, how many did you put down here for me this week? 3 points Karen put down for me this week. Okay. I love that, don't you? Everybody's not paying attention. So what do you say? So number one is this, and as we look now in honoring moms, I think that we, you know, I'm not going to preach Proverbs 31 to you, but I'm going to say this. Here's what the Word of God says about you being moms, how important it is. Moms are molders of lives. Now, I'm not talking about the mold that grows in the corner when it's damp and it's dark. I'm not talking about that mold. I'm thinking of my oldest brother, him and his wife, they used to make candles. Did you ever make candles? What do you need when you make candles? You need a mold. And they would buy these molds. And I thought it was interesting. They used to make candles, and they would take that wax, and they would melt that wax, and they would pour it in molds. And then I found out, did you ever see these candles that have holes all in them and stuff? You ever see them? It looks like it was burned and somebody sold it for new. Well, they do that by putting ice in the mold when you put the thing in. It's very interesting. Pour it in there. And my sister-in-law was good about that. And so this is when we talk about mothers being molders of lives. I want you to go to 2 Timothy, because I don't think that you can have a celebration of mother without considering the life of Timothy and his mother and his grandmother. So if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, you know, I always, when I sit out in the pew, and sometimes pastors, they show up, they have their Bibles all marked, and so they flip and then they stand there. Not me, I turn there because I figure by the time I get there, you're there. Okay? And so, but now 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 5. Paul is writing to Timothy. He's a young pastor. He is struggling in his ministry. He needs some encouragement. And here's the encouragement that this great apostle Paul gives to Timothy. He says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." And he says, okay, he's remembering Timothy, but look what he says. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And you know what it was? Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And yet here we are. We're celebrating Mother's Day today. And what I want to encourage you ladies today, you guys can listen because yours is coming on Father's Day, but also you're a molder too. So don't just tap your wife and say, I want you to realize this, is that look at how these two ladies molded that young man's life. And how did they do that? Well, if you read on here in the Scriptures, you'll see that they molded his life with the Word of God. That from a, Paul goes on, he says, that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. And as we consider this, here's what the world's going to teach you, ladies, is that you need to live unto yourself. The Word of God says you have a bigger calling than that, and that is molding of people. Molding your children, molding your grandchildren. I love being a grandparent. I guess you can't tell that, can you? I mean, I can remember when Kaylee was little, I just wasn't quite sure when our daughter told us that she was expecting if I would love children and grandchildren, because I was quite young. I was just in my early 40s. And I'll tell you what, I just fell in love with her right away. I'll tell you what, if I knew it was that good, I'd have done it first. Right? Right? How about that, grandparents? Right? Oh, yeah. You folks that are just having your families now, one day you're going to say, I never understood that statement, but you will. There's just something magical about it. But that molding that takes place. Moms, grandmothers, you have a tremendous calling in life. We see that in Timothy's life. You know what's mentioned? You know what is not mentioned in the Bible about Timothy? Not a thing of his dad. Now, the only thing that we know about his dad is that he was a Greek. But we don't have any influence in the whole. And I don't know why. Maybe he died an untimely death. Maybe Eunice was a widow. Maybe Lois was a widow. I don't know. It doesn't say anything about Timothy's father and grandfather. But here, Timothy was so impacted by his mother and his grandmother. I wonder how many times they thought, he just isn't getting it. Right? Did you ever notice that with kids? You just don't think they're getting it, and then they surprise the daylights out of you. We were with Blake one day, and it was so interesting. I think it was during missions conference. And we had the one young man, his name was Andrew, wasn't it? Stayed at the house. And so we stopped at Arby's and picked up some roast beef sandwiches. Somebody gave me some coupons, and I think Carol gave me those. And so we stopped and bought a bunch of sandwiches. And Blake, And we're sitting around the table at the Dressler residence. Here's this young missionary kid from Poland, and Blake is sitting there. Of course, Blake's being Blake, okay? He's being 4 years old, on the verge of turning five. And you know what he said? I'll pray. Where did that come from? Because most of the time you say, let's pray. Well, he goes, you go to a restaurant, we're not allowed to pray in here. I don't know who told him that. And so for the first time in his life, he prayed. And you know what? I thought he did an excellent job. And you think a lot of times, I just wonder if we're getting through, right? Do you think you're getting through? And you know what? Stay by the stuff. Keep on track. That's all you got to do. The thing of it is, Mom, Grandma, if you don't think you're getting anywhere, just remain faithful. That's what it is. Amen? That's what it is. I mean, I listen to people here, and I have to admit, since I went to being part-time here, right? I've been here now about a year and a half. So I have to admit, I don't know everybody quite as well as I did the folks at Bakerburg. But as I learn your lives and your stories, you know what? You know what your life and your story is a testimony to? The faithfulness of godly people in your family. Amen? That is the story of many lives that are here. And I find that, to me, refreshing. I find that exciting. And so, moms are molders. So, let me ask you, here's a question we need to ask ourselves, okay? What do you value in life? I just put it right on your sheet. What do you value in life? What are you using to develop your worldview? That is so important. Going back to the illustration of my sister-in-law making those candles, if she wanted to make a tall candle, she had to have the right mold. If you had wanted to make a tall candle, you couldn't take a little mold and just keep stacking them on top of each other. What is the mold that you are using to mold the young people? Will it be a biblical worldview or will it be a secular worldview? We have that contrast around us every day. As a matter of fact, it seems as though the secular view wants to attack the biblical view all the time, does it not? We see that. What do you value in life? What are you using to develop your worldview? What will you pass on to your loved ones? What is it about you that you will pass on to them? I made a note here that to think is that when we read the biographies of great people who've gone before us, great Christians, many of them will acknowledge the influence of a godly mother. John and Charles Wesley would give the men used greatly of God. And yet it was Suzanne Wesley, under great trying circumstances in her life, still continue to pour her life into her young people. Amen? That's what it's all about. Now, number two is we're going to go back to the Genesis model just for a minute, and I want to just develop that. Wives are helpmeets. You say, I had to put that in there so the guys will listen. The guys are going, all right now. See, they all got together and took a little offer and gave me a couple $100 to put this point in there, okay? That's what they did. I know they did. Look at them guys just smirking. Ladies, get them. Get them. So what is it? And what I'm talking about here in Genesis chapter 2, Adam was alone. Did you realize that? And you know what God says? It is not good that man's alone. Isn't that wonderful? God has the greatest wisdom ever. And God knows us guys can't be alone. Amen? That's how important. There's a wedding ceremony that I use, and it takes this word helpmeet, and it brings it out in an aspect is where it just isn't that you need to help us. We desperately need you. That's what that passage is saying. That's how much you are needed in our lives. As much as we try to be macho. I tell you what. And you know what? These are areas where our world today says, well, you just, And don't get me wrong. I think it's earned in some aspects. There's been, you know, the old Snyder County Dutchmen. They didn't treat their wives very well. That's terrible. You know, there's people today alive around the world that think that a woman is property. That's terrible. Amen? Come on now. Amen? And you know what? There's some people by their actions who call themselves Christians and think their wives their property. Come on now. Should we say, oh my? Oh yeah. Let me ask you something. Men, do you realize that your wife... People say, well, you know, the Bible says she's the weaker vessel. I'll tell you what, when you're sleeping and she's got a frying pan, I'll tell you what, buddy. Huh? Don't ever go to sleep then if that's what you think. If you think that's what that means. You know, fellas, if you want to be the king of the castle, you can't be a king unless you got a queen there. So you better treat her like a queen. Amen? Come on now. You say, well, Pastor, you're meddling. No. I'm saying this. Did you know what? Ephesians chapter 5 is a man's favorite passage. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands. Does anybody know what the verse before that says? Huh? Does anybody know what the verse before that says? Huh? No, that's in there. But the verse right before that says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. That's what it says. Amen? Us fellas, we don't like to read that one. Man, I'm digging a big hole here. I better go on with the message because I want to get you out early. Because I don't want you to be at the back of the line at Hawson's. I want you to be at the front of the line. And you say, oh, everybody comes in and says, our pastor loves us more than your pastor loves you. Right? That's what it's about today. I'm sorry. Now, here's the thing. What we see, not only are moms to mold their young people, but they are to teach the young women how to be godly, how to be a godly mom. See, we're in 2 Timothy. I want you to turn over. See, when we talk about, and I probably should have put this, where moms are molders of lives. It probably should have fell under that one. But I want us to see, and once again, these are passages that the church just doesn't talk about a lot today. But I want you to go to Titus chapter 2. And it starts off in verse 1. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then it starts about the guys that said, the aged men. So I think I'm probably now, I got my official card, I'm one of the aged men now. Right? See, when people start saying, when you go in a store or you go to a restaurant, they start calling you sir. You know what happens? That means you're old. And they call you ma'am, you're old. It's just like, you know, you just got to look at him and say, sir, I'm not in the military. But watch this. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. Okay? That's okay. Now, I like this one. The aged women. Isn't that wonderful? It's almost like Abraham wrote a note for Timothy to open up all those years later and say, remember, I called my wife while stricken. Right? That's what Abraham said, right? When God came, that was a good testimony. Now, if any of you guys in testimony time get up and say, my wife is well stricken, I'm not responsible for what happens after that. Okay? I'm not responsible, but watch this. Now, notice this passage. It says, the aged women likewise. Isn't that something? Now, I'm not going to ask any ladies to raise their hand, but I don't know who would claim the coveted title of aged women. Because y'all, see, now I'm playing to the crowd today. Y'all just look so wonderful. There's not a person that looks over 40 in the room. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, everybody says, oh, I just love the pastor today. Well, yeah, took 2 weeks from St. John to get this message together, so I had all that time, right? But now watch this. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now notice verse 4. That they may teach the young women. Isn't that wonderful? What an opportunity. The aged women are to do what? Teach the younger women. And what's it supposed to teach them about? Teach them about being a molder, just like they are. Because that's what it talks about. Look at this. The young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't that something? We need to be taught that. You know, the animal kingdom, that just comes instinct, right? You see the birds, and they'll we saw a robin egg broke the other day, so we know it's all taking place now. But one of these days, you know, those birds will hatch, and there'll come a time where just by instinct they'll kick that bird out of the nest and they'll go. See, you know, our kids graduate from school, and sometimes, right? And then they're hanging on the sides of the nest and everything. Sometimes they come back every once in a while. You know, and that's okay. But this idea of molding, being that helpmeet, desperately needed in our families today. And believe it or not, I think our culture means good a lot of times because of the abuses that are out there, but they have stolen something that is precious in the life of a woman, and that is the role that God has given her. Desperately needed in our marriages, desperately needed in her husband's life, and a molder, not only of children and grandchildren, but a molder of the next generation coming up. Amen? That's what it's all about. And then see, number three is this. I put this on because now we're going to go to Ephesians 5 where I quoted from. But now I know that here in this passage in Titus, it is a woman that teaches another woman to love her children and to love her husband. But I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 5 because there's an aspect to this where it says this. Verse 21, we'll read that again, okay? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And then it goes on, it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. You notice in this passage that Paul's writing, it doesn't admonish the wife to love her husband. You say, oh, look at that, honey, I got an out. You say, honey, I love you. I don't have to love you. The pastor said so this Sunday. Oh, no, you know why? Because for a woman, for a mom to love, I think is more natural to her. Now, Titus says that the aged women ought to instruct the younger women about loving. I think that's more of a reminding, and to love their children. But notice this, Paul is writing to the husband and wife relationship, and for you young people that hear children, you're not out of it yet either. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I don't know how many times in junior church I taught on that passage of Scripture. That's a fun one. And the kids all sit there going, is that the only thing that Pastor Brother Dave knows? Because that's what they didn't call me Pastor Dave then. But number three is this. Mothers have that mothering aspect that men lack, and they must be reminded to love. And it's so incredible because we have such wonderful examples right around us. The Reardons, Mary Grace just gave birth to Rad, just a little guy. And Caitlin and Jeremy, they just gave birth to... No, Jeremy didn't. He just stood there, same way with Dan. Right? They ate the pickles. Right? The ice cream and the pickles, right? But they had... It's Matthew, right? I got it. Boy, a lot of pressure here. But we just had that example right in our own midst, in our own congregation. And you know what happened? I would say this. Mary Grace, as you looked at that little guy, your heart just knit. Incredibly, right at that moment. Amen? Oh, yeah. And Caitlin's back there in the nursery. And she's back there, and her heart is just knit. I mean, I look at them, just old baldies. I don't know, how can a baby's head look so much like a bowling ball and everybody just loves it, right? You say, well, all the moms are going to meet you after church, buddy, okay? I know the only cute baby to a guy is their own, and you have to push that sometimes. Atta boy. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to shave it off then. Got to make it work for the sermon. There we go. But here's the thing is what an honored position. And you know what the world's going to tell you today? That what I just said is not an honored position. And look what you sacrifice when you buy into their teaching. And you know, the Word of God always triumphs. But we got to believe it. And we got to practice it. And we got to stand for it. That's what it comes down to. And I hope, if anything, this message today is a stand that we take. First of all, just because we need to take that stand. Second of all, it is a bringing back to a focal point of what the family is, what marriage is, and what love is. Amen? And then, last of all, a celebration. Because I want all the ladies here today to feel honored. Because it is an honored calling that God has for you. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what battle that you happen to be embroiled in right now, whether it be, I think about, there's times where I miss my grandkids and then they're around me enough that I don't miss them. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Oh yeah, you know, it's wonderful having kids until they're up all night and you have to be up all night with them. It's better when they're 18 and they can stay up all night themselves and then you're saying, go to bed. Right? Well, it's only 25 after and I'm done. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray.